So how's everybody today? So the title for today is I Can't Imagine, right? So that means we're going to be talking about what? Imagination. However, I want us to think about it in a slightly different way to be able to access the actual power that we are. You know, so we say things like, there's only one power and one presence, God the good, omnipotent, right? Tweak that a little bit, because it's time for an upgrade. God is not omnipotent. God is omnipotence itself, right? What color is this shirt? Can this shirt, which is green, be anything other than green? This shirt that is green, can it change into another color? So if it is green, it is expressing greenness just itself. So God being omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, it has no choice but to be that in expression, right? But when we think about God being omnipotent, one, we're thinking of a little bit of separation, a little bit of anthropomorphic kind of stuff, you know, because if God can be omnipotent, then God can also be less than all-powerful. But the moment we think of God as the isness and allness of all that is, it can't be anything less than that. But see, the thing is, we don't like thinking of ourselves in that way. Because if God is it, and it is omnipotence, and you are God, then what are you? If God is all-powerful, and you are God, if God is all present, and you are God, if God is all knowing, and you are God, then everything that it is, because there's only one, showing up as the multitude, but there's only one. So that which it is, today's Father's Day. And we talk about, you know, my father and my mother, I share their DNA. Right? Likewise do all of you. But if we are the children of God, the children of creation, the children of source, then we must also share its DNA. Now, what is the DNA of God? The divinely natural attributes of source. We share it. We are it. But every time we say something like, you know, I can't imagine finding the perfect home, the perfect husband or wife, the perfect job or career. I can't imagine what my life would be like if, and then whatever the, I can't imagine what my life would be like if I won $300 million. I can't imagine what my life would be like if Oprah would let me on Super Soul Sunday. Oh, I can. I'm just saying, people say this, because I've already got it in here. And master's class, I'm gonna put that out there too. So. But we say this stuff. I can't imagine. One, if you can say it, you've already imagined it. Because you can't talk about something that you don't already have in your head. So if you say, I can't imagine, fill in the blank, you already have imagined it because it's in your mind to then go to your vocal cords to then come out of your mouth. So you had to have already had it in your consciousness to be able to express it. So if you're already using your imagination, worry. You know, what if I go on this job interview and they don't hire me? Using your imagination for evil. Because I'm what-ifing the negative. I'm what-ifing the worst-case scenario. You don't have to raise your hand because I already know who you are. I know some of you already do this whole thing. I'm going to expect plan A, but if plan A don't work, I got to fall in, I got a backup plan. So if this don't work, we plan for the worst. We expect the best, but plan for. You cannot serve two masters. If you're going to put it out there that you want this, when in all of Jesusdom did Jesus say, So I'm going to go out and I plan on, you know, multitudes of fish and loaves, but if not, can somebody run to the supermarket and grab some? When was it planned? Well, I'm going to pray that manna will fall from heaven, but if it doesn't, when were these archetypes, examples to us, when did they expect but plan? If you're going to say it, then do it. So what does this mean? When we worry about things, it's using our imagination for evil. Someone told me a long time ago, back in my former lifetime as a regular Christian, somebody told me, don't laugh at that, somebody told me that praying, that worrying is praying to the devil. Ooh, that makes my back itch. What? Now, being a New Thought, we know that there is no devil, there is no antithesis to, but what does, metaphysically, what does the devil represent? Lies and fear. It is said, even in regular Christianity, that Satan is the father of all lies. So anytime we buy into the lie, we're engaging in devil worship. Ooh. We're believing the lie. And oftentimes the very lie that we're believing is the lie that we are telling ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not skilled enough. Why would they hire me? I've only got 2 years' experience. The application thing online said minimum of 5. How many times have you ever heard a story of someone who wasn't qualified, had no business getting a job or whatever, the job, the role, the whatever, and got it? We know hundreds of thousands of possible stories throughout all of history of someone not quite being what this says they want. But the person said, why not? I think I can. Matter of fact, I know I can, so I'm going to apply anyway. And then they get the role. I'm going to the audition anyway, and I get the role. Why? Because of the power of their consciousness saying that no is not an option. So, how many Trekkies in the room, as in Star Trek? Don't be a closeted Trekkie. Raise your hand, because I know some of y'all are like, live long and proud. I know. Put the hand up there and be proud to be a Vulcan. So, Gene Roddenberry, and I may have mentioned this the last time I was here. I don't remember yesterday, though. Gene Roddenberry, in the original Star Trek with William Shatner, what did they use as communicators? Flip phones. Think about it. It was a flip phone. Bloop, bloop. It was a flip phone. And then fast forward many years later, what are we using? Flip phones. Now, let's fast forward to Star Trek, Next Generation, Jean-Luc Picard, Data. What are they using as a console? Touch screen. And what are we using today? Touch screen. Someone had it in their mind in the 60s of a world where, now get this, the world of Star Trek, they have the World Federation of Planets. There is no more war on Earth. They now fight Klingons and stuff. But on Earth, there's peace. There is no more hungry. There's none of it. Gene Roddenberry envisioned this. Is it possible? Because I talk to people, and people tell me no. People say no. You're never going to end world hunger. You're never going to end war. You're never going to. To which I want to know, when are you going to ever going to shut up? Because the very thing that you are doing is creating this world of there can never be peace. There can never be. So, you know how we have the peace song, right? I'm not going to sing. Right? I've been playing in my mind with this. Yes, there is peace on earth, because it has begun with me. Yes, there is peace on earth. The peace that was meant to be. with God as the I am expressing itself as me. Present tense. As me, not as what am I doing to be Christ consciousness right here, right now. What am I envisioning right here, right now? You know, for imagination, the disciple is Bartholomew, and the spot is third eye chakra. It's that ability to see what these two may not be able to see. Now, there's a passage in the Bible where it says, and it depends on which translation it is, that if your eyesight or your vision is clear, then your whole body is filled with light. If your eyesight, if your vision, let's go with that, if your vision is clear, if your visioning is clear, if you have clear vision of your purpose, of who and what you are, then your body will be filled with light. Now, it's already filled with light. But if you don't plug in, turn the lamp on, then you're sitting in a room full of darkness, cursing the shadows in the room, when all you have to do is walk over, take the dimmer switch, and turn it up. Because everything that exists now existed in 1870. These things, they existed in 1500. People just didn't know how to make them. But every chemical we have now existed in 1500. What we didn't have was the knowledge of how to do. So imagine what we can actually do that we don't know today that we can do. Why does it say in the Bible, come unto me as little children, be as children? Because children don't. What? Who are you talking to? I'm talking to Daniel. Who is Daniel? Daniel is my imaginary friend. Where is Daniel?
What do you mean, Dad? You don't, he's right here.
Hi, Daniel.
Father, why are you shaking his knee? Daniel is 15.
Children play, and they love playing. We hit an age as adults, and we are told and taught, grow up. Put away your childish things. They mean put the big wheel away, not your imagination. Because there comes a time when part of our work as adults is to have a strong imagination. Why does Disney World have an entire branch? It's a career called Imagineers. Imagineers, their entire job is to engineer the imagination and create things that no one knew were possible. Disneyland should have never happened. Disney World should have never happened. But it did anyway, because Walt Disney would not take no for an answer. Viktor Frankl should have never made it out of the Holocaust. But he did, because he would not take no for an answer. He said, they can't touch me. This isn't me. There's something else that's me that the Nazis can't touch. And the moment he had that realization, he was free and knew he was getting out. But many of us are stuck in our own version of a concentration camp where we are concentrating on the ills of our life. We are concentrating on the bills that need to be paid, and we can't imagine how we're going to get the money. We are concentrating on what the doctor told us about this, 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 and this, rather than on, you do know that you're just a physician. You do realize this, right? I don't understand. You got a crystal ball somewhere? Because I don't understand how you are forecasting what's going to happen. How do you know? My father was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, when I was in elementary school. He should have died before I reached middle school. He didn't. He outlived that doctor. Second doctor, thank you. Second doctor says, well, Charles, you know, it might be in remission, but you 2 to 4 years. Now I'm getting ready to go to high school.
And that doctor transitions, and my father's still alive. My father didn't make his transition until 2002. And my father said to me, years ago, when I first got diagnosed, all I wanted to know was that you were going to get out of elementary school. And I saw it. And I wanted to see you grow up and get out of middle school. And I saw it. And then I said, well, heck, I want to see you graduate high school because I know you'll be okay. And I saw it. Anything from this point on is whipped cream and cherries. But you decided to go to college. And I said, hey, I would love to see you graduate. And I graduated twice, 2 degrees. And he saw it. And so the summer before he made his transition, he tells me this. And he says, all of this stuff that I wanted to see, I saw. I wanted to see it because I already saw it. Now I'm seeing it in manifestation, and I'm okay to leave. And he transitioned that fall. Don't tell me we do not have access to an amazing power. My father connected to it. Viktor Frankl connected to it. Mahatma Gandhi connected to it. Martin Luther King Jr. connected to it. Oprah Winfrey connected to it. Each and all of us connect to it one way or another. Name some folks that you admire. Muhammad Ali. Maya Angelou. Judy Garland. Give me one more. Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela. I got two for the price of one. Now, tell me, what is it about these people that you admire? Wisdom. Leadership. Courage, dignity, perseverance, vision, grit. Do you realize that all of these things that were named you have in you already? Because if you didn't, when she said wisdom, you would say, wisdom, what's wisdom? When someone says integrity, vision, grit, leadership, you would say, what is this word, leadership? I'm not familiar. You wouldn't know what it means. But the fact that you know what it means says it's in your consciousness. And if it's in your consciousness, it's you. But see, we look at these other people as, wow, which is great. But at some point, we need to turn the mirror around and look in the mirror and say, the same wisdom that is them is me. Because I wouldn't be able to see, namaste, I can't see in another which isn't already in me. But we have to be willing to recognize that we are already divine. Back to Star Trek for a second. 1966, November, I think, there was an episode called The Menagerie. Anybody remember that episode? Are you serious? Wow. So there's this concept mentioned in it, reality distortion field, because there's this group of aliens that create a world by thinking it. Fast forward many, 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 many years later, there's this gentleman by the name of, what's his name? He created this thing called Apple. What you know who I'm talking about? What's his name? Right. See, that's how, I don't know why. Yes, him. Exactly. It was said that he used reality distortion field with his employees. And there's a story that says, and I don't remember the exact time, where he goes to one of the engineers and says, so I need you to work on the time for the boot up. I need you to reduce it by half. And the engineer says, Mr. Jobs, that's impossible. And he pauses and says, what if somebody's life depended on it? And he says, well, I don't know. If somebody's life depended on it,
than maybe. You went from impossible to maybe. What's the next logical leap? It's done. Yes. So the engineer says,
that's a really good question.
And he goes away to ponder it for a while. And he comes back and he says, Mr. Jobs, so I worked on it and I was able to do what you wanted. And he said, so you reduced it by half. He said, no, sir. I reduced it, and I don't remember the exact time, but he reduced it by more than what was asked. You went from impossible to maybe to matching the expectation to exceeding the expectation. Why are we not exceeding our own expectations in our lives? Actually, we're living right up to them. And it's time to break the ceiling. It's time for us to say, right here, right now, I'm not breathing me. I'm being breathed. And I'm being breathed by the same thing that makes Jupiter spin in its orbit. I'm being breathed by the same thing that lets grass know to grow and to be green. Because I've never walked outside and said, the grass is purple today. It knows, because there is an intelligence that is the grass. And the exact same thing, this spiritual substance, is each and every one of us. So the challenge is, how do I surrender? How do I surrender to a greater version of me, knowing that it's possible because I see it? May 2nd, my second oldest brother made his transition, and I go home to Pittsburgh for my family responsibilities. While Tracy and I are driving, I'm praying and meditating, and Om Shanti, 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 Avunde Bashmaya Nitkade Shemukte Temar. Like, I'm doing everything I can do in as many languages as I can possibly do, because I know going to Pittsburgh is going to be a challenge. I know it. First of all, it's my family. And you know Ram Dass says, if you ever think you're enlightened, go home and spend a weekend with your family. You will find out how enlightened you are. So I already know. But not just that it's my family at a funeral. So if these people were crazy before, they're crazy to the third power at a funeral. So I get prepped, I'm getting ready, and throughout the entire thing, I got this, and I'm checking in with Tracy every time. Tracy, how, because I sometimes we don't know. Am I good? Really? Oh, wow, okay, keep praying. Christ consciousness, I am that I am. Abracadabra, like I'm working it. And I don't mean abracadabra like magic abracadabra. I'm like abracadabra like the Hebrew Aramaic meaning of abracadabra, which is I create as I speak. You do know that that's what abracadabra really means, right? Yeah, abracadabra actually means I create as I speak. What I speak, I create. That's why it became abracadabra. So I'm like, I'm working it. Like, I'm doing the Matrix. Like, stuff is coming at me and I'm dodging and I'm good. And then the actual time for the funeral comes up, and I get asked to do the funeral. No. Because I know what kind of minister they want for the funeral, which means I would have had to become disingenuous. I would have had to have let down my guard and not be authentic to myself, because they want a tambourine tapping, sweat, dab my head, gee, like that. They, blah, like. They want James Brown meets the Pope meets all in one. That. It's not me. Because I would have had to speak about something that I don't believe anymore. So I said no. Repeatedly. No, 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 no. And several of my family members remember the little 8-year-old version of me, the 8-year-old Monty, who would disappear and run and hide in the corner. That's who they expect me to be now. No. Why not? Not comfortable. We move on. What I realized from this, because of things that were said and whispers that I heard, my family doesn't like me. And they're ashamed of me. And I don't care. Because the realization I had was, do I love me? Yes. Do I like me? Yes. Am I happy? Yes. And if we weren't in church right now, I would put a word right in front of that. Yes. I'm happier now than I have ever been in my life. Why? Because there was a time, a couple of years ago, where I said, you know what, this isn't working anymore. If I believe in this stuff called new thought, this is not. Thoughts become things. Change your thinking, change it. I start, what does this mean? How do I put this into practice? So I said, this is what I'm going to do. This is now my spiritual practice. And I'm going to do this every day. Because I believe that by doing this spiritual practice every day, it will change and transform the quality of my life. And if nothing comes out of it other than the fact that I love me and I'm happy, my cup already runneth over. And I did it. And it worked. Because I saw it in my mind's eye first. And I didn't release the vision until I saw it start showing up in my outside experience. So the challenge for each of us is, are you ready? And are you willing to let God's dream of itself as you show up in your life experience? And if you're ready, in your own words, tell me how you're ready. Amen. And so it is. Ashe. Whatever you want to say, but your way of giving voice to, yes, I'm ready. Three of you didn't. I didn't hear three of you. I'm really good with this thing. One more time. How ready are you? Then I affirm with you. And so it is.
And from the space of knowing how blessed we truly are, we take a breath. And as we let it out, we relax into our seat, allow that chair to support you. And if you choose to, place your feet flat on the floor and free your laps. And as we take another deep cleansing breath, we give thanks for the power and presence that always is, that lives through and expresses as each one of us uniquely. And we are so grateful for every blessing that we have experienced up to this now moment. And giving thanks for blessings to manifest, we give thanks for it in advance. We put feet to our prayers. We plan knowing that prayer is already being answered in the right and perfect way. We give thanks for the power, the faculty of imagination that is always at work. As we breathe into the knowing that imagination is breathing through us right here and right now, we seize it. We embrace that power. We envision our best lives. We imagine the feeling of our prayers answered, of our life moving forward, of being fulfilled, of knowing and experiencing prosperity in every area of our lives, prospering in health, and loving, supporting relationships, and vocations and avocations that bless us and move beyond us and bless others. we radiate the light from the inside out. And with this power of imagination, we allow ourselves to know that whatever dream we are dreaming, we know that through the power and presence, that Christ presence expressing in and through and as us, we make way for a dream even grander than the one we may be sitting with right now. And as we move into a moment of silence, let us give thanks for knowing and being willing to know that our imagination is healthy, it is vibrant and radiating, and it serves us perfectly in the silence. And we take a breath knowing that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we can take on a new thought, begin a new leg of our journey, knowing that we don't walk it alone. And we give thanks in advance for illumined minds and spirit, knowing that we are here on purpose to do what only each of us individually can do. Each of us is a vital piece of the universal puzzle. And we give thanks right here and right now for knowing the truth, for living and walking in our truth. Together we say thank you, thank you, thank you, and so it is.